It's Central Time. I'm Jay Carlisle Larson.
And I'm Chris Molina. You're with us on the Ideas Network. Coming up, we'll talk with Broadway legend and UW alumnus Andre DeShields about his award-winning role in the musical Hadestown.
First, if you've ever have had difficulties at work with a boss or a fellow employee or have questions about pay, training, and professional development, the HR department is supposed to help solve those problems.
Unfortunately, not all HR departments are created equal, and not every American workplace even has one. Among the most common HR-related matters at work include turnover and retention, generational conflict, diversity and inclusion, and the Me Too movements.
Our next guest is here to talk about solutions employees and employers can pursue to create a better work environment.
Jeanette Black is an associate professor in the Department of Operations and Management at UW-Stout. She's also a senior-level human resources and organizational development professional. Jeanette, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
So how would you describe the purpose of a human resources department?
That individual is really kind of the backbone of the organization. They're the employee advocate. They're the employer advocate. They're there to keep the operations moving forward.
What do you find to be the most pressing HR-related issue in the workplace today?
Well, at this point in time, employers are really stretched for the capacity for workers. They're having a difficult time finding talent due to the economy, and not just finding talent, but finding qualified talent that meet the requirements for the roles that we have in today's organizations.
And are human resources departments able to tackle some of the other issues, or are they really getting backlogged because they're having such of a hard time and so much of their time is going to try to fill open vacancies at companies?
They try their best, and wherever the greatest stressor is where the most resources are applied, as we can all kind of relate to. So they try to do an excellent balancing act, and some days there are better than others.
So for people who work in HR, they're kind of in this middle ground between the employee and the employer. You know, what are some, I guess, misconceptions out there about HR from both perspectives?
Well, sometimes HR is viewed as the enforcer of policy and that they only work on the employer side. And the same goes on the other side. Sometimes HR is viewed as being too much of an employee advocate and not facilitating the employer requirements that they have for the business need. So it goes both ways.
And what about companies that don't have a human resources department? A lot of places, you had mentioned individual before. Oftentimes there's an HR representative. Sometimes there's a department. But there are cases where an organization just doesn't have the resources to have a human resources department. What happens in that case, especially if an employee has a problem?
Well, that's a very good question. Sometimes employers are aligned with employer resource groups. Sometimes they do have a membership to the Society for Human Resource Management. There are many of us that do provide support and consulting to those smaller employers. Sometimes there are employer associations that can help fill that need. It's, you know, kind of a mixed grouping of things to try to help fill that resource.
And, you know, how do maybe a company that doesn't have an access to an HR department, how do they find these resources if they're just starting out and they're trying to figure out what to do in an employer situation?
Well, I would first refer them to either a SHRM Essentials course where they can, that's available to anyone from the Society of Human Resource Management. That's a wide variety of topics that range from the basics of HR to how to hire, how to reward your employees, how do you develop employees, et cetera, and also as well as the U.S. employment laws that are out there. So that would be one route. Employer associations oftentimes help provide a resource. And sometimes there are various legal firms that do employment law that put on seminars that can support them as well.
We're talking right now with Jeanette Black. She's an associate professor in the Department of Operations and Management at UW-Stout. And we're talking about human resources issues in today's workplace. And Jeanette, we've seen the emergence in recent years of the Me Too movement, of more of the spotlight being shown on some of the issues that women have faced at work in particular. And it's really forced employers to examine how gender and power often intersect. So describe what this has meant from an HR perspective.
Well, HR needs to be very well aware of what is happening in an organization in terms of those dynamics. And they also have to have strong policies in place that support reporting and process, as well as they need to do training. And training must be specific and related to their organization. And training really needs to be done more than once a year. It can't be just a one-time when we do all the annual training for all employees. It also is not just for the hourly employees. It's for all employees, supervisors, managers, upper leadership, etc. So everybody should know how to recognize the signs, how to communicate appropriately, and how to report. And on the flip side, HR really needs to know how to respond and what are those processes.
And I'm also wondering, you know, whenever there's kind of like an emerging issue, sometimes there can be a gap between when something is actually happening and then the training and the skills to actually be able to do something about it. And I'm wondering if we're seeing in human resources, a gap emerging, and what human resources departments are doing to be more proactive about things, to maybe be able to react to things more in the moment rather than waiting a couple months for that training to come down the road.
That's true. And really, we have a lot of technology that's available that human resource departments can do very quickly by putting out a quick web stream, et cetera, to get that out there right away. But HR really needs to be working with employees and supervisors and managers and upper leadership one-on-one and do that coaching real-time, one-on-one, and working with people and really have that pulse of the organization. What's happening, and make sure that there is truly an open door that people, no matter what the issue is, from what side, can come forward to talk about it in a non-threatening way with the support that they need.
Just a quick question, staying in the Me Too vein. Me Too really did explode on the scene. We saw a lot of stories come out. Was this a surprise from an HR perspective, or has this been simmering for a while?
Actually, it's been simmering for quite some time in organizations. It's just the media, the power of the media behind it with some of these high-profile situations that have happened have really accelerated. And I will say that some organizations, I think, were caught by surprise at how quickly the situation became and the topic became so broad and so widespread. I think that, you know, they were just surprised by that. And now every organization really needs to be aware of all these factors and really needs to also take a look at their diversity and inclusion processes and what do they mean.
I'm glad that you brought up diversity and inclusion, because that's another aspect of human resources that has been on a lot of minds in recent years. How are departments, human resource departments, handling issues of diversity and inclusion that you've seen? What kind of policies are they thinking about?
Well, they really need to be looking at what does diverse mean? Define that. Some organizations see it as ethnicity and stuff like that, but it's much broader. Diversity is also diversity of thought. How do we communicate in an organization? What type of talent do we need? And really look at those components to build a diverse workforce based on the talent requirements for the business.
So with diversity and inclusion, one thing we've heard somewhat is it's one thing to get people who do come from diverse backgrounds into the door, but what's there once they're in that work environment, especially if it's, say, a predominantly white work environment? What work is being done in HR now to make sure that these workplaces are open, inviting, and, safe for people coming in?
That's a very good point. And that boils down to what type of organizational culture and climate is present in the organization. What are those supposed rules of engagement for employees, as well as what are their experience and how are those components taught to new employees and how are they socialized into the organization? And are they welcomed? And are all views welcomed? I mean, there's a lot about looking at organizational culture from a people-centered point of view, where all people matter, all people are valued, all people are treated with dignity and respect. That goes a long way to building that inclusive organizational culture and climate that employers really need to be focusing on if they want to retain employees, especially with the newer generations coming in to organizations, because right now there can be anywhere between 5 and 6 generations in any workplace at any one point in time. So there can be a lot of conflict due to how do we bring people into the organization, how do we socialize them, how do we communicate, and how do we engage with them.
And Jeanette, we want to stick with the generational conversation. And we are talking to Jeanette Black right now about some of the human resources issues facing workplaces today. She's an associate professor in the Department of Operations and Management at UW-Stout. She's also a senior level human resources and organizational development professional.
And Jeanette, we said that word conflict, and I don't think it matters whatever organization or company that exists out there. There's always going to be conflict as long as people come together. So let's say someone has a conflict at work and they're wondering, well, you know, I don't know if this rises to the level of whether or not I should go to HR. What would you say to someone in that situation?
I would ask them to talk with the individual and see if their perceptions are accurate about the conflict. That gives an opportunity to have that one-on-one conversation. If the conflict intention still is there, I would talk with a supervisor, talk with HR, et cetera. Sometimes our perceptions can sometimes become an unfounded reality. So we need to take great care in how we perceive tension and conflict in organizations and make sure that's really valid. And if we have said something that may have stated unintentionally, we have an opportunity to apologize or correct that error.
It sounds like sometimes that apology can, you know, maybe stop the conflict in its tracks and you can move on. But what if, you know, people start taking the steps to alleviate that conflict and it isn't quite working? What advice do you have then?
Then I would suggest talking with a supervisor and your HR professional in your organization and just go in and say, hey, I've been talking with employee X and we had this conversation. It didn't go well. I tried to find out more and try to resolve it. I'd really like your perspective on what next steps I could try.
We also talked briefly before the break about, you know, different generations in the workplace. And we're getting to the point now where, you know, millennials have been in the workplace for a while. Gen Z is starting to get into the workforce. We've got baby boomers. We've got Gen X. There are a lot of different generations also coexisting under one roof a lot of the time. And that can lead to some general conflict. And I'm wondering how you go about having everyone kind of coexist happily together when there can be issues over, you know, experience versus newcomers and everything that goes along with different generations in the workplace.
Yes, that is kind of what a lot of employers are struggling with, and also retaining the employees from these most recent generations that are coming in to organizations. Again, a lot goes into and so revolves around socialization of new employees. Pairing new employees with employees who are more senior, mentoring programs, sponsorships, all of those go a long way. Now, that's more formal, but you can do something informal such as potlucks, dinners, outside activities. You know, right now it's a beautiful day in June here in Wisconsin. Outside picnics, et cetera, and just letting people to get to know each other. Team building activities can be involved in that. You'd be surprised how those even informal components can really break down barriers and establish really great working relationships. It's a lot about what we don't know about people is what drives our distance between people, and unfortunately, and creates those communication barriers.
Now, we've talked some about retention. You just mentioned it with some of the younger employees. It seems generationally that HR is going to have to respond to retention in different ways. How between, I would say, let's say baby boomers to Gen Z, which are now entering the workforce, how HR can work with each of these generations to make sure that all of their needs are being met?
That's a great question, and it's also one that organizations are really kind of challenged with right now. The first step that HR needs to embrace is talking with these groups and finding out what is meaningful for them. It's different for each group. It's different for the Generation Z. It's different for millennials. It's different for baby boomers, et cetera. They're all different. And once you find out and learn what those needs are, then you can develop more of a comprehensive package in terms of rewards and what that means. And what is that going to look like? But again, you can't just, okay, well, I got my feedback. I took it from the employees. Okay, good, I'm done. We're going to put this program in place. You still need to bring that back to employees within those generations for feedback. And then once again, revise as you need based on the growing changes and needs of the organization. It's not a one-time event. And organizations sometimes are so stressed, they think, oh, that's all I have time for. But everything doesn't need to sit on HR's shoulders. You can engage employees from these groups to help. And that's where a lot of companies have these small employee resource groups that really can lend a hand in helping drive and design the policies and procedures and total rewards programs for the company. And then it's well communicated because these groups do a great job of relating to and communicating with employees so that there's not as much of a gap between the employee base and management.
I'm also wondering, too, it sounds like, you know, from what you're saying, you know, HR plays a certain role in reaching out to employees, connecting people, and really just having conversations. And I'm wondering if that also needs to go to the other way, where maybe we need, as employees, to reach out to human resources a little bit more just on a personal level, because sometimes I think, you know, we joke around that, oh, we're only going to go to HR when we have a problem or something like that. And do we need to be a little bit more proactive in just having some of those general conversations, just getting to know our human resources representatives a little bit better?
Absolutely. It's a two-way street, per se. Employees need to share what they can about who they are and what they are about. And HR needs to do the same. I think we've become so worried about litigation that we kind of forget that we're not robots coming to work. Mm-hmm. We all have lives, we all have personalities, and we all have events that happen. And the most successful organizations, the most cohesive organizations I've worked with and I've been employed in have been those organizations where that sharing has occurred as appropriate.
You've given us a bit of a crash course in HR and the role that HR plays. You're actually going to be teaching a couple of new courses, looking at how to improve human resources. Can you tell us a little bit about what you're planning on teaching?
Certainly. July 15th and 16th on campus at UW-Stato, we'll be teaching the SHRM Essentials course. And that's available to anyone who wants to learn more about human resources. It can be employees, it can be supervisors, it can be HR, it can be leadership, doesn't matter. And we cover a wide range of topics, introductory topics to HR, such as what's the HR profession about, strategic planning, how do you acquire talent, what do rewards look like, what's meaningful, pay increases and compensation systems. We'll touch a little bit about that, benefits. How do you develop your employees? What's that career path look like? Performance management systems, and kind of the real basics of employment law. That's what that course will be. It'll be 2 days, partial days, on campus at UW-Stout, July 15th and 16th. And then starting on September 3rd, I will also be teaching 100% online the SHRM CP preparation course. And this is a 12-week course that's offered by SHRM. That goes through all of these topics in much more detail. It goes deeply into diversity, inclusion, and the generations in the workplace and stuff like that. So all of those things will be in that much longer 12-week course by SHRM. And it's there for people who are human resource professionals who want to be certified in the field, which today is really important.
briefly, Jeanette, as we wrap up, what challenges do you see on the horizon in the next 5 years or so that human resources departments all across the state might be facing?
I think that some of the challenges are we're going to have to think differently and be more engaged with our employees. And we're going to have to do things from a unique perspective. I don't believe that our existing or old models will work as our generations continue to expand into our workforce and as our older workforces retire. So we also need to get really involved with our communities, not outside of the four walls of the business, and create those community relationships.
Jeanette, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Jeanette Black is an associate professor in the Department of Operations and Management at UW-Stout. She's also a senior-level human resources and organizational development professional. We talked with her about HR issues in the workplace.